Hello, and welcome to Teacher Tales, a podcast from the spirit of teaching. This is your host, Linda Markley, and I invite you to join me and my guests as we get curious, explore, discover, and learn more about what is really at the heart of teaching. In each episode, we will hear the story of a teacher, what called them to teach, what are their greatest joys and challenges in teaching, what inspires them, and what are their hopes, dreams, and vision for the education of children. We will learn more about the greatest lessons they have taught and also the greatest lessons they have learned. No checklists, no standards, no reports, no paperwork, and no data. Just stories from their hearts to our hearts on a journey to celebrate what really matters in the true spirit of teaching. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode, an exciting one of Teacher Tales. And I have a very special guest today, an award-winning teacher, and I'm going to let him introduce himself to you.
Thank you for having me, Linda. Hi, guys. My name is Matt Russinello. I'm in my 20th year teaching. I teach in Manalpan High School Spanish 1 ICR. That means about half of my students are special education students, and the other half could be an array of all different levels. And I have been teaching Spanish in New Jersey for all 20 years, but I taught a year in Ecuador, and that kind of got my feet wet and kind of got me interested in spreading the love of learning and knowledge and culture. Mm-hmm. And so I love teaching. I think authentic me is someone who strives for understanding and bringing out the best in people. And as a teacher, I get to do that every day, and I'm very lucky to do so.
Oh, I love to hear that, because, you know, you don't always hear that from teachers, that they feel very lucky to be able to, affect the lives of children and everything. Sometimes they get a little bit down because of everything going on, especially here in Florida. And So that's really heartwarming to hear. So you have won a couple of awards. You want to tell us about that?
Oh, I can certainly do so. I have been very fortunate to work with some leaders in the communicative approach to learning. Before I got hired, I first taught seventh grade. I actually taught fourth through seventh in a fourth grade through eighth grade school. And the summer before I was hired, our district hired Greg Duncan, who is an international language consultant. And so the summer before I was hired, he gave us like a 1 week boot camp, if you will. And he brought to life concepts of input to output, and just really getting into the minds of students to allow their minds to flourish and let their personalities come out. Just let them be in this free manner to express themselves in language. And to take control of their learning is a term I use a lot. I want my students feeling like they can maximize their potential and be themselves and be in the driver's seat. And so I was very lucky to work with Greg right before I started teaching. I think I got kind of spoiled when I tell people that. They're like, you work with Greg Duncan before you even started? Yeah, I was very fortunate. I think I've made him proud. I would also quickly like to shout out my world language supervisor, Ellen Spears, who's continued to be my friend and mentor for the past 20 years. She's another education genius. And Dr. Joe Goble, I call him the input master. He's at the College of New Jersey. Our district and Mrs. Spears made us go see Joe in about three different workshops: input, output, scenarios, the five C's. And I was very lucky to work with them. And I am honored to keep on sharing my expertise, learning from people like you, Linda, learning from people at different PDs. And yeah, I was awarded with a couple of awards, the 2015 Flenge Award. The same year I got the Cooperating Teacher Award, I won my school's Teacher of the Year Award, and just other little nominations here and there that I'm very fortunate to get. But it really is all about making kids feel like they can flourish in a classroom and making them spread that knowledge to others. I believe Toni Morrison said that, you know, it is our job to free somebody else. And mm-hmm. if I can pass on a willingness to take my learning to the next level, I think my students will do that as well. And I think learning is contagious. And if they see my passion, I think they're going to spread the love of learning with everyone around them as well in their lives. So,
That is so well put. A couple of points that I just want to highlight.
thank you.
That it's contagious. And if they see the students see you learning and growing and trying to become the very best version of yourself every single day when you step into the classroom, it really, encourages them to step up and to rise to the occasion and be the best versions of themselves. So being a great role model and inspiring them, that's so important for teachers to know that that's what they're doing. That's the impact that they can have every day. But also what you said about, and everybody can't see me, but I'm making, heart hands right now to Greg Duncan, a very good friend as well, and I adore him. And he influenced my life too. Same thing, came to our district, gave a workshop, and then we became friends. And I did a lot of other work with him. And so the mentoring of other teachers and being inspiring to other teachers, that's why I'm doing the Spirit of Teaching, to try to inspire and lift up teachers and provide role models and inspiration and mentors and connections and community and all of those great things that we really need in teaching. And it's how we, raise up the whole profession, together. So great points. So already off to a really great start with all of these very profound, inspiring messages. But you were talking about your students and how you want them to be able to see their, what they can do and be inspired. Something you told me or gave me in a little snippet in an email, you said student-centered learning and giving students agency to their understanding will motivate them to love language and be proud of who they are learning as learners. So talk to me a little bit about agency. It's a word that gets thrown around a lot, especially in education, student agency. Not everyone understands what that means or what it looks like. Can you talk to that a little bit?
Sure. I think, Linda, we have to first meet where our students are as people to really understand where they are and going to be as learners. And we know we have to build a strong rapport with our students, but we have to let them be risk takers. We have to let them know through what we can perhaps call coaching. That's what I call a lot. We have to encourage them to be risk takers. We have to encourage them to be free and let them take risks and remind them that everything that they do is important. All the decisions they make, all the risks they take are going to get them to a level of Spanish, to an emotional level that is going to fulfill their hearts with joy. And so, if we have student-centered tasks, we have to celebrate. We have to take those times to spotlight the risks, even if it's something small. But we have to let them know that their efforts, that their interests, that their approaches to learning, that their backgrounds, whether they're rich, poor, whatever it is, it's going to make the community in this classroom what it's going to be. And so I like to call it spotlighting or coaching. And when I have a student who is either, crushing a lesson or a student who just needs his chance to shine, I'm always walking around with a clipboard and I'm jotting down all the little things to the really important things I see. And I will stop the learning task and say, guys, you have to hear what John just said. He just used the extension pero, which means but. Let's everyone give him a round of applause. And by me spotlighting what the class doesn't know, not only am I spotlighting John and celebrating his risk, I'm also reinforcing the need to extend on their sentences. And so when you approach learning in that honest way, as Toni Morrison said, if you're trying to free someone else, everything else, I believe, Linda, just falls into place. The students see you celebratory all the time. They see you trying to really, really give agency to their learning, and they see that you're serious about it. And students will become more risk takers and they'll want to integrate themselves into your community. But you were talking before about teaching, and it made me think how our job is, it's a serious job, but it can be so much fun because there's so much to celebrate. And I often say giving agency is celebrating all of their differences. And yeah, teaching is, I wouldn't change it for anything else in the world. I wouldn't want to be an administrator, to be honest with you, although it probably has its perks. I like to stay in the trenches because that's where I feel I can be with my students and not only just challenge them intellectually, but challenge them as people, get them out of their comfort zone. We've seen since COVID, perhaps at least here in New Jersey, we were when COVID happened in March, obviously we went on virtual learning, but the following year was 90% virtual. We had about three kids in the classroom. Everyone else was on a screen. And we've seen in New Jersey, and I'm sure other states as well, students maybe being less inclined to be risk takers, maybe being less inclined to want to show others what their real personality is like. But that's what makes us unique. That's what's going to allow us to thrive and feel like we're alive, is if those risks and differences, if we embrace them and celebrate them in these fun, natural ways, that's what's going to give them agency. And I always say that it just sometimes takes a little bit of a pep talk, or it sometimes takes just a little side conversation with a student, just keeping it real with them, as we say. And you perhaps just might change their attitude for the next class and hook them in, and then they could be yours for the rest of the year. But I'm not teaching content. I'm here to teach life lessons. I'm here to teach them that they can grow as people. It's not all about the content. So
What you're saying about celebrating and spotlighting things that students do, I think ties in and really reinforces a very strong belief that I have about teaching and what I implemented, as a teacher in the classroom. And that's building the community in the classroom, that we're like a family, we all matter. And that's what they need to hear, is that they matter, no matter who they are. No matter
Yes.
what their contribution can be, whether it's two words or just nodding their head of comprehension,
Yes.
or a very long sentence, the heritage speakers, the native speakers that can go, speak very fluently, but they still have something to learn. They all matter and they all need to be seen and heard. So spotlighting them and giving them agency and lifting them up, that speaks to that, and those are human
Yes.
needs. And it's not about the content. I love Toni Morrison, but also Maya Angelou said, people don't remember what you say or do, but they remember how you make them
And
feel.
feel, yes.
And that speaks to that as well. So it sounds like you make your kids feel really, really good about being there and what they're learning, and you're being a really great role model. So I want to
Oh,
segue
thank you.
into something that
All
you
right, let's
also
go.
shared with me about, that you've developed three different strategies that empower students and allow them to see the relevance of their learning. And you call them nuts, sats, and tickle. So you want to
Yep,
tell us,
nuts. Yeah, sure. Yeah, one is called nuts, the other is SATs.
Oh, SATs.
Yeah, no, it's okay. And the other one is, yeah, tickle, TCOL, take control of your learning. But they're just student-centered approaches to increase engagement and make the students extensions of the teacher. I always felt like sending out a tweet, and an older gentleman walked by and said, "Wow, why is your class is always so loud? Do you only do games?" And I'm like, "Oh, he's got to come in and just see." He eventually did come in twice, and he's like, "I can't do that. Like, you almost give them too much responsibility." It's just he came from a lecture point of view, and he part of being a teacher is letting students experiment and letting their creativity and curiosity run wild. And I wouldn't be able to do that probably in any content area, Linda, especially Spanish, if I were lecturing. So I've just always tried to build student-centered environments. And NUTS stands for Now You Tries. And when I'm building acquisition, I'm doing input, and I'm not translating the words. I'm not giving them the words beforehand. I'm very, very big on input. And I will call it Now You Try, because I will stop the input, right? Stop all of this engagement of talking like right now we're in the family unit, so I'm talking about enseñar, aprender, cuidar. I'm showing pictures of my family and how my dad has taught me. Oh, mi papá me enseñaba muchas cosas en la vida. I'm giving them this onslaught of input. I will stop them, pass the baton to them, and I let them quickly try out the language for a moment. And there's a bunch of ways to do it, a bunch of fun activities. I call them now you tries because I stop, I almost give them a break, and I pass the baton to them and say, hey guys, we're gonna do this quick little experimentation with the language. It could be like a little chant, I'm big into TPR, so using body language to facilitate learning and give them meanings of words. But I could be like enseñar, aprender, aprender, enseñar. But as I'm doing that, I'm acting out the body action for teaching, and then I'm acting like a light bulb is going off, like ooh, aprender. So I'll be like, chicos, a ver, a mí, and I'll be like aprender. So I'm sorry, you can see this. I'll be like enseñar, aprender, aprender, enseñar. And I'm like, okay, ready? A ver, te toca a ti. And then they'll go uno, dos, tres, and they will all do it. And now you try could simply be a quick ask your partner. So, ¿tienes mascotas en la casa? A ver, ¿cuántas? I'll model that with a student. Marcos, a ver, ¿tienes mascotas en la casa? And he'll be like, claro, yo tengo dos perros. Muy bien. Clase, a ver, pregúntele a su compañero. Everybody, ask your partner, ¿cuántas mascotas tienes en la casa? I walk around with my clipboard. Once again, try to spotlight and coach them. But it's that little break in input. So it's not just me speaking in Spanish, teaching with visuals, and then they're just sitting there looking at me like, oh God, this is, we know input is very important. So they build the language system in their brain. I like to break it up. And I call them little now you tries. I could have them hold up cards, sí o no. I say a question in Spanish, they hold up a card, sí o no. I have a little thing, and now you try. It's called el concierto. So I'll put on the board five sentences using the current vocab. And some of them will be things that you do or agree with, or you don't do or agree with. So if one of them says, I have two pets in the house, the no, number two says, I love to learn new things. Number three could be, let's see, we're in the house unit. I have a big bed. I call it a concierto because when I point to the number, if you agree with that statement or do it, you have to say it as loud as you can. And what happens is sometimes only one person ends up saying, something silly or something simple, excuse me, like, a mí me encanta la música de Beyoncé. And then everyone kind of laughs, but the kid was a risk taker and we celebrate those moments. So I have those little moments of now you tries where I break up the learning and I let them experiment with the language so they see how it feels. And it builds proficiency because they're already using the language in the second or third day of the unit. So I call those now you tries. Yeah, they've helped me a lot to keep students engaged because they know they kind of got to be on their toes.
And
So.
for the listeners that are thinking, oh, well, that's great for Spanish, but I can see that working in any content area and at any grade
Sure.
level. That's something I learned
Sure.
too, is
Yeah.
that my high school kids love to play games. And, I had learning centers. So I had like paper dolls
Oh,
and,
cool.
play telephone. And it was really cool to see a 17-year-old boy playing with paper dolls, and he was really getting into it, and everything. So it is risk-taking, and it is a way to get them engaged. But now you
Sure.
try exactly, and you're just kind of, and it's like a formative assessment too. So, and it's kind of,
Exactly. Walk around with that clipboard. You can see what words are sticking real quick.
yeah,
Sure.
what administrator's not going to love that when they come in and watch your
Oh, wow.
class?
Thanks.
So, how about SATs?
Oh, SAT stands for Students as Teachers. And SATs, I am passing the baton to them if and putting them in the breaking up the learning, but you can use SATs more towards the probably the middle or the end of a unit. But when I model a certain activity or game, it's not that I try not to keep it whole class, but I try to get as much powerful student-centered tasks as possible. So if we do Simon Says, I model for the whole class, and then boom, the students perform Simon Says at their tables of four. I have tables of four, and they know one student is the teacher. So an SAT is this constant passing of the baton, and do the activity that I just modeled for you to do. So two truths and a lie. I'll model that with a student, and then I'll say, a ver, profesores, uno, dos, tres, vamos. And they know one person in that group of four or group of two is the student, is the teacher. That's why I call it students as teachers. You maximize production when students are in groups of two or triads three. Mm-hmm. So an SAT is kind of the opposite of whole group instruction. It's this constant letting the students, once again, experiment with the language, but they're the teachers now. So they're the one assessing each other. It's a different way of thinking when you're the teacher. Mm-hmm. You're kind of like comparing yourself. Am I doing it right? They can develop some empathy as well. So if I say, if we're doing, let's go to Simon Says, let's say, and I do the TPR, and I say, a ver, Simón dice aprender, but I do the action or TPR for enseñar. You can nicely interject and say, oh, you just did enseñar. So students develop this rapport with each other. It's another way of thinking. I don't know who the person who came up with this comment was. I believe I heard it in college that you learn more as the teacher than you do as the student. I forget how that saying goes, but they're analyzing and processing information differently when they're the teacher in a group of two or three. Mm-hmm. And I call those students as teachers. And it breaks it up. It keeps class fun. When I do SATs, you hear students laughing. They're calling you over. Oh, you got to hear what Julia just said. And then Julia will tell me what she said. SATs make a lively environment. And it's just an environment of risk takers and celebrations. And yeah, I'm something I'm just not going to stop doing.
Well, I mean, what a great gift to the kids, because how much get to do that in other classes? They don't. They're usually sitting at their desk. They're doing work out of a book or a workbook, not a lot of mm-hmm. other interaction. And also in this day and age, they're on their phones and they're not interacting interpersonally and developing social skills. And having
that's
empathy
a great point. Yes.
For someone else who's struggling, and that can help them to feel, more confident and be compelled to try to help that person, because it's a real human need. And I think it's natural for all kids to do that, but they won't if they're in, if they're isolated or they're in rows and they're not comfortable. Like you said, they got to be risk takers, but they have to be in a comfortable environment to be able to do that. And it sounds like you really, really helped them to feel that comfort and to take the risks and to be a teacher. I mean, this is a life lesson. I did the Camino many years ago.
I saw that on your website. Excellent. I share that with many teachers. Thank you.
Yeah. So one of the biggest lessons I walked away with is that we're all teachers and we're all students, and we will be for the rest of our lives till breathing anymore. So that's kind of everyone's purpose in the world. Every human mm-hmm. being is to be a teacher at times and to be a student at times. So another great point there for everybody to take away. So how about a tickle?
So tickle is take control of your learning. This year, the students have especially really taken to it. I leave all of the class manipulatives on the desk before they walk in. So we pass around dollar store balls, pictures, fly swatters. Right now we have conjugation boxes, but all of the manipulatives and things we use in class, all the realia, if you will, as well, I leave them on the desks. My classroom is set up. I have seven tables of four students, so four students per table. So it's set up for communicative instruction and second language acquisition. I leave all these manipulatives on the desk. And when students enter the classroom, they're expected to, and it's been modeled over and over, they're expected to get better without me. Use these manipulatives to perform the activities we've been doing in class with them. And it frees me up to monitor the students, do like a 360 around the room, interject when I feel like a student's struggling. They can perform students as teachers. They can do any activity they want, let their curiosity run wild, invent a new game, which sometimes they do. Most students will do the same activity we do in class, but quite often a student will pull me and say, Mr. Russ, I have a great activity. I'm going to flip the conjugation box at the same time as Megan does, and we're going to see who conjugates the verb quickest. Some students prefer to, they request manipulatives or things that they've been struggling with. So, you know, a boy might see that another desk has different pictures where they're going to play bingo or something. And he might say, can I go over there? Can I get that one? Students really take control of their learning when you let them become the teachers and you let them run free with the learning. But they know you're going to have a good eye on them. You know, you're going to spotlight their strengths. And that's what I call it, take control of learning. The students start the class by themselves. And what's really cool about Tickle actually is when I'm walking around observing students, I'm once again assessing them formatively. I get to see what words are sticking. I get to see who works well with whom. And I know, oh, I'm definitely making, you know, Megan work with Tim for the next time we have a seat change. Or it frees me up just to notice all the things, like just lets me see what's working and what's not for the first 3 minutes of class. But I was going to say also, Linda, what happens also is it's a perfect segue into a lesson. So if a student is doing, let's say I have 9 pictures on a piece of paper, you describe one, I just simply point to it. So you could be like, you know, en la foto, la muchacha está leyendo. And I point to the girl reading. If I'm in the family unit, it kind of just bridges into a natural, it's a natural bridge into the lesson where I could be like, oh, I'm going to mention how my dad was a big reader and how my dad used to sit me down and he taught me. That's how I'll say the verb enseñar. It just gives me ideas how to make a natural segue into my lesson. Instead of stopping the tickle and being like, so guys, we're in the family unit, and then, you know, getting pictures in. It leads to topics of conversation. Once again, the students will pull you over. Oh, Mr. Russ, professor, you have to hear what Megan just said. Say it again. She just said, aunque, even though. That was so good. Tickle is a student engagement strategy that puts students in the driver's seat. And it's something I'm going to continue doing for as long as the students crave it. So,
You know, your three strategies that we just talked about, though, and building a community, you really are developing a culture within your classroom.
Sure.
And, you know, all of these things you've talked about with the, you know, manipulatives on the desk or the interactions and stuff. It's really culture because it's products, practices, and perspectives. And so the kids are all using different products. They're getting different perspectives on things. And this is how you build community. This is how you have a culture that works well together. A family is a, you know, the same sort of thing. You have this certain tradition, certain things, products that you use. If, you know, you're making certain things in the kitchen and, you know, that's our tradition. We use this special dish or, you know, that sort of thing. So it is just so powerful to approach teaching that way. And like you said, to empower the students and let them feel comfortable taking a risk. And I just feel like being a language teacher is like the greatest gift of all, because we get to do that all the time. But then I stop and think, and I'm like, why can't you do that in your English class? Why can't you do that in your math class? You really can. Because
I do often think about that too. You know, sometimes you walk by certain rooms and they're just silent all the time. And it's one difficult task to build community, but I think that the teacher needs to learn from the students in order to know how to build a community and what type of energy the student's bringing to the classroom. And you can't do that. For me, it's difficult for me to do that if they're not in the driver's seat and I can't step back and see what makes them tick. Because in a lecture, how am I going to see what makes you tick if it's all one way? I'm just regurgitating. I'm just giving you information. You're opening up your Google form and then writing down, you know, questions that you had or filling in a questionnaire. So I think when student-centered learning really creates community, and it wants students to be a part of something because they see you celebrating their risks, and there's reward to that. There really is. Being in a community allows us to feel like we can thrive. That's what human beings crave. We want to feel a part of something.
Belonging.
Yeah, sense of belonging is very, very important. And you nailed it. It's sometimes it can be easy to do that in a world language class
Yeah, it can
because we're
be.
teaching practice, perspective. Yep.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you, what do you love about your students? But I think that our whole conversation
Okay.
has just been woven with all of your affection for them. That, I mean, it comes through very clearly that you respect them and that you revere them and that you try
Oh, thank
to
you.
elevate them through how you conduct your classroom and how you're developing that culture. Like I said, kind of like family. I mean, I used to tell them we'd go on field trips and every kid in the class had a responsibility. They all had helping hands, like you're going to be the one that's doing this. You're going to get the coolers off the bus. This one's going to do some recording. This, we're all in this together. Everybody plays a part. Everybody belongs. And it's just so nice to hear you talk about it too, because sometimes I felt like, this just comes so naturally to me. Why are not other teachers doing this? We're all human beings, and that's how I think we should approach teaching.
I love that word you used, elevate.
Yeah, elevate. I mean,
Yes.
that's what we're trying to do. So, what kind of advice, because we're getting a little short on our time now, so we're going to wrap this up. And what kind of advice would you give new teachers? A
A
teacher
new
just
teacher, I would encourage to go to professional development, to continue to be curious, and as we want our students to do nonstop learning. You know, you can never find the perfect way to teach perfectly. There's going to be ups, there's going to be downs, but if you go to PD, I would say is the most important thing. And number two would be reflective. We need to step back and really be honest with ourselves and ask ourselves, what do I need to take this learning environment and this community to the next level? I recall mentoring a student years ago. He asked me how the I asked him 2 days after he did a lesson, how did it go? And he goes, I don't really remember. And I thought, gosh, you know, if you're not reflecting, it's like you're not teaching because you don't know where to go and what to do next. I keep not really a journal, but I do keep it probably is a journal. I'm always writing down notes of ideas. You know, watching student take risks and all these, you know, nuts, now you tries all these activities gives me ideas for next year and how I can enhance and make the learning more powerful. So being reflective and being honest with yourself is very, very important. And number three, I would say is reach out and ask people for help when you're in school. Not just having someone come just to observe you if you want. Hey, come check out. You think I'm doing this right? But asking people for help when you need it. Ask questions because we don't know everything. And if you're willing to share and grow, just like we were saying before about learning is contagious, other people will do the same too. We're teachers. We're not perfect. We don't know everything. But if we stay as a community, I think our students will, excuse me, I think our classrooms will be a community as well. We have a very important job and we can change the world. I really, really think that being in the trenches as a teacher, we're changing the world. And sometimes we don't notice it every single day, but making a difference in the life of someone else is only going to make the world a better place. We're going to have hopefully less conflict, less jealousy, less greed. And when students see that passion, it's contagious. I really believe that.
I do too. I do too. I know someone who's been having some interns lately, and what you said about reflecting and going to PD and also learning from others. Some of the experience has been that, some of these student interns, they're learning a lot of the theory. They're very good students, but then they're not willing to be vulnerable in the classroom and reflect, or to open themselves up as risk takers too. Again, it just amazes me, 20-year-olds that are teaching with rows of desks, and putting a work, a worksheet up on the board, and the kids have to just work at their desks. And I'm like, are we not in the 21st century? This is so that's great advice to new teachers. And I know that there are some teachers from SCOLT and everything that have their student teachers listen to the podcast for this advice. So thank you for that. That's very
Oh,
good.
that's great. You're most
So
welcome anytime.
yeah. So thank you for all of your words of wisdom and
Thank
thank
you
you
for
for
having me.
being a teacher and changing the lives of these kids. And they will always remember you because
They'll
we
always remember you too. Thank you so much.
So thank you for everything. And like I said, any recommendations, any other teachers you want to recommend for Teacher Tales, please just reach out.
Oh, for sure. Thanks so much, Linda.
Hello again, everyone. This is your host, Linda Markley, and I'd like to invite you to nominate a teacher to be a guest on the podcast and to share their story. All you have to do is go to www.spiritofteaching.org and fill out the nomination form. Again, that's www.spiritofteaching.org. Also, please share, rate, and give some feedback to help us better serve you in the spirit of teaching. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to having you back next time on Teacher Tales.